Today's scripture will be from Ephesians 4, 14 through 21. It's Ephesians 4, 14 through 21. I'm reading from New King James. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3-7. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, and without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to store up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Good morning. Time is such a precious resource. There's just so much of it, isn't there? You know, you can't manufacture it. It's limited. You can't save it up until a time that you want it. You can't stockpile it. And there's no way you can keep it from moving forward. You're going to spend time today. It's going to go. It's going to be gone, and you can't call it back. Time is such a precious resource, and we have so much to do, and there seems to be so little bit of time, and it flies by quicker and quicker. I remember when I was a teenager thinking, wow, the year 2000. Man, I wonder, will I ever live to the year 2000? I thought, I don't know, I'd be awfully old. If I live to the year 2000, I will be 49. And I thought, boy, that sounds so far off. Could I ever make it to the year 2000? And it's 2017, and I'm a lot older than 49, and now is it possible to make it to, 2040? Probably not, but it flies by. And at my stage in life, part of my gauge are my grandkids. I think of Josiah. When Josiah was born, this cute little guy, we just loved him, and it just doesn't seem like it was all that long ago, and then there he is. I mean, he's a young man. I just can't believe how quickly time goes by. You and I have about 10,080 minutes every week. Now, if you sleep about 8 hours or so, that's going to take around 3,300 minutes just right off the top. And it's going to leave you and me with about 6,700 minutes in a week. And so many things to cram into those minutes. You're going to be here today. Some of us are going to be here for 135 minutes, roughly, if you were here for Bible class and for worship. And, that's not even counting your travel time in either direction. And you probably, when you came here today, the last thing you would want someone to impose on you is a request for you to make a time commitment. Because you don't have that much, and I don't either. We don't have a lot of extra time. But today I'm going to ask you to make a time commitment of those precious resources that you have. Now, you may already be doing what I'm going to ask you, and if that's the case, you've already made the time commitment in your life, so it's not any extra burden, and I hope you'll just continue to do that. But I'm going to ask for something very specific for this week. For this week, starting today, I'm going to ask each one of us to commit 5 minutes a day to pray for the Newland Street family. To pray 5 minutes a day, I'm just asking for this coming week. So that's 35 minutes out of your entire week. I want to ask each one of us to make a commitment to pray for the Newland Street congregation for 5 minutes a day. Now, we're all praying every day. We're all praying. We're praying about all sorts of things because there's so many things that we're interested in that we care about. We have so many concerns and petitions that we bring before the Father's throne. But this morning, I'd like for each one of us to just to consider, how devoted are we in prayer specifically for the church, specifically for this local body and for one another that make up this body of Christ? I'm a church member. I'm a church member. That means I'm a member of the body of Christ, because the church and membership in the church isn't like a club. It's not like a human organization. It's not the AARP or a country club where you pay your dues and everything just goes on no matter what anybody thinks or does. The church is the living body of Jesus Christ on this earth, and we as a local body are completely dependent upon the presence of God and the power of God within us, and the guidance of God in our lives individually and for the church, and how dependent we truly are upon God in prayer. And prayer is so very important for us to be engaged in. Let me ask you personally, individually, what if you knew that the future of this congregation depended on your prayers for this church? What kind of an impact would that make on your life if you were convinced that your personal prayer for the church impacted the future of this congregation? Well, brothers and sisters, it does. Of course, it does. Your prayers, my prayers, all of us praying together, this has a huge impact on the life of this church, on the strength of this church, on the faithfulness and the power of this body of Christ. Those prayers make an impact because God is answering those prayers. And I'd like for you to consider today, and more than consider, to pledge. And again, you may be doing so much more than this already, but if not, to pledge 5 minutes a day in this coming week to pray for the congregation. And I think one of the best places to see this kind of devotion to prayer for the church is in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul prays for the church. He prays for the church continually, as we'll see. We find it in his letters. His prayers are recorded. Three of them have already been read this morning, three of Paul's prayers. And in his letters, he not only calls us to pray, he not only reminds us that we need to be individually devoted to prayer, but then he records his prayers, prayers for the church and prayers for individuals in the church. And when you read his prayers, they're not only instructional as to, I mean, his prayers actually teach doctrine in a certain way, but they teach us how to pray, but even more importantly, perhaps they motivate us to pray for the church and to see what it's like to pray for the body of Christ. We've heard two of his prayers for the church at Ephesus, a prayer for Timothy the evangelist. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In his prayer for the church at Colossae, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And so, from the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. There are at least a dozen prayers of Paul recorded in the New Testament, and one of the first things you'll notice as you read these prayers of Paul is that Paul prays continually for the church. Paul is always praying for the church. And he mentions that in just about every one of his prayers. He says, we thank God. We always thank God for you. We have not ceased to pray for you. Always in every prayer of mine. He says, I constantly mention you in my prayers. Paul is continually praying for the church. And you think, why is he doing that? Why does he spend so much time praying for the church? Well, it's because he loves the church. He cares about the church. He's concerned about the church. The church is on his heart and his mind. It's his life. He's planted so many of these churches himself, being in a sense the father of the faith of those congregations. But even where that's not the case, like the church in Rome, Paul writes and says, I continually remember you. I'm always praying for you. I never stop praying for you. I never stop remembering. He cares about their plight, about their spiritual health, about their growth. He cares about their faithfulness and what's going on in the lives of the church, that they will persevere and endure. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives that long list of all of this, the persecutions, the beatings, the shipwrecks, all of the things that happened to him that were of an oppressive, persecuting type of situation in his life, in the midst of all that, he says in verse 28, apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Paul says, I'm always thinking about the church. I'm always thinking about you congregations. I'm always thinking about the people that make up those local bodies. And my life is wrapped up in yours. You see, Paul's a church member. Paul is connected to these people. His life is joined with them. He is a praying church member. He is going to continually pray for these people because they're on his heart. They're on his mind. When I was a teenager, maybe mid-teens, I woke up one night and I noticed that there was a light on in my parents' bedroom, which was really unusual because, I don't know, it was like, you know, 1, 2 in the morning. It was really the early hours of the morning. And my dad got up real early to go to work, 5, something like that. I think he typically got up. And I thought, I just assumed as I got up and walked down the hallway that they must have fallen asleep with the light on. And so the only time I can really remember ever doing this, I walked in my parents' bedroom at night. The door was open. And when I walked in around the corner, I looked. And the little light was on the bedside table. And my dad was on his knees on the floor with his face to the ground. And I just quietly backed up and walked out of the room. Didn't say a word and never said a thing to him. You know, that's been 50 years ago. And I can see that so clearly in my mind even today. Something was going on at church. I don't know what it was. I was 15 years old. But you know, sometimes you can just tell when something's not right. My dad was an elder in the church, and I know what he was doing that night. I never asked him about it. I never said a word to him about it. And I don't know how many nights he spent there. But I know my dad was praying for the church. I know he was praying for its strength. He was praying for its unity. Because the church was just his life. It was just where we lived. Our life was in the body of Christ. Those were our friends. That was the family. And I know he was praying that night because of his care for the church. And I asked myself, do I have that kind of concern for the church? Do I have that kind of devotion to this body, to be prayerful, to be thinking about this church, to have this congregation, as well as the church universal, of course, but to have this group of people on my heart, thinking about you, praying for you? Am I concerned about the unity of this body? Am I concerned about our faithfulness? Am I concerned about the power of God's Spirit working in us to accomplish things that bring glory and majesty to God? Do I pray continually for the church? You know, Paul did, and he not only prayed continually for the church, but he prayed specifically for the church. You read his prayers, and they're I mean, they're very specific. First of all, there's always thanksgiving. He's always thankful for the church and sometimes thankful for specific things. Thankful for their support in his preaching of the word. Thankful for hospitality that they've shown. Thankful for just their faithfulness and how he's heard reports of their love. And he gives thanksgiving to God on behalf of the church. And then he prays quite specifically for them. You may have noticed it in some of the prayers that we read today. Almost always, Paul's praying for their knowledge to grow. But it isn't just about knowledge. He wants their knowledge to grow with all spiritual discernment and insight. It's not just about them getting more information in their head. He wants these churches to grow spiritually, to understand the spiritual significance of the truths of the Word of God. And he prays that they can be filled with the Spirit in their inner person so that they can have power to understand. He prays that they can have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand the will of God. He prays that they live righteous, blameless lives, that they be ready when the Lord comes. He prays for their unity. He prays for their love to grow. He prays for them to experience joy and hope in Christ Jesus. He prays for their efforts to be effective in spreading the news of Jesus Christ to others. He prays quite specifically about the church and her needs. And when it comes to us, I want to encourage you and me to pray specifically for this family. I'm going to make some suggestions today. You pray from your heart. You pray. You do this the way that you do this. But let me give you some suggestions, some things to think about. Let me encourage you to pray for our elders. One of our elders led us in prayer this morning and prayed for the elders and prayed for their wisdom and for their understanding. Our elders long for your prayers and need your prayers. You know, my dad was an elder. I grew up in the home of an elder. My dad didn't talk about confidential things, obviously, that were going on in his life as an elder. But I saw what it was like to be an elder in the church. I saw it all my life. I watched my dad. I know the nights he was out late. I know the calls and the visits. I know all of those things. I may not know all of the details, but I saw the impact that being an elder took on his life. And for the last 45 years, I have been so blessed to work under the oversight of elders in the Lord's church. Men that I've loved and respected, people who have taught me and mentored me throughout my life. I respect the elders in the body of Christ. I appreciate them so much. And I really felt like, you know, I kind of know what it's like. I kind of understand this thing. I've been around it all my life. But if I could just say personally, it was not until I accepted that role a few years ago that I experienced the true sobering weight and responsibility of serving as a shepherd in the body of Christ. I'd seen it all my life. I'd watched it. I'd appreciated it. But then in the experience of it, I'm just saying our elders need our prayers. We need to pray for our elders. We need to pray for their wisdom. Let me tell you, they long. The elders long to be led by the wisdom of God. They long to have God's vision, God's eyes for this church and for this community. Pray that they will. Pray that we will. Pray for the elders, that they will be men who are bold, men who are faithful, men who are not afraid to go out and to serve and to do things that are new and new ways to reach the lost, to be more effective in the kingdom. Pray that we will be faithful to the task that God has given us. Pray for our elders' families. Ask God's blessing upon them because they are in need of special blessing because of the responsibilities that the elders have. Pray for our elders. Pray for their spiritual protection. Because you know how Satan would delight to bring down a shepherd of the church. Pray for their spiritual protection. Pray for their faithfulness. Pray for their endurance. As a preacher, I ask you to pray for me that I'll be faithful to God's call on my life to preach the word, to preach it completely and truthfully. please pray for the elders of the church, because this will make a difference. You see, God answers these prayers. When you're praying for the leadership of this congregation, and when those same leaders are looking to God to provide that kind of direction and strength, don't you see how this all comes together in the spiritual realm, where God is working through the prayers of the church? God is working through the dependence and the humility and the trust of the elders to bring about His spiritual will within the body of Christ. Our prayers are effectual. Our prayers do something. It's not just being nice. It's not just remembering something. We're inviting God and asking God for His blessing, for His strength, and for His guidance. Pray, please, for the elders. Pray for every servant of this church, for every ministry of this church. We have folks who do so many things every day. And I know we don't know everything that gets done, do we? We don't know everyone that's doing everything. But pray for the people that you know that are serving. Pray that our servants will be men and women who persevere. If they're getting discouraged, if their zeal for Christ and for the ministry that they're doing can be renewed, because sometimes in our ministries, things begin to wear us down, and we begin sometimes to wonder if it's worth it, or we lose hope, or we just get tired. Pray for every servant in this body, that every servant will be faithful to God. Pray for our ministries. Pray for our Bible school program. Pray for the Onkis in South Africa. Pray for World Christian Broadcasting. Pray for the City of Children. Pray for the MOPS ministry. Pray for our ladies' Bible class. Pray for the things that go on in the life of the church. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to help each individual who's serving to be faithful. Support one another in prayer. And while you're making that prayer, ask God to open your eyes to the opportunities where you can serve, where you can be an effective, functioning member of the body of Christ, carrying out your ministry and your role, that your eyes would be open, perhaps even to new things that God would call you to do in the body of Christ, and that we would all be faithful. Let's support each one in prayer. Pray for the spiritual health of this church. That's what so often Paul's praying about. Have you noticed that in his prayers? He wants the church to grow in knowledge. Pray that we grow in knowledge and in spiritual insight. Pray that we grow in unity and in grace and in faithfulness. Pray that we as a church and as a people grow in love and in hope and in joy to the point that it overflows in our lives and we long to share it with other people. Pray for the spiritual health of each of us. Pray that we as a church can be filled by the Spirit of God, each of us individually in our own inner person, so that we can powerfully serve God, the power that is at work within us, more than we ask or imagine, Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. Pray for the spiritual health of this church, and pray for those who are in need. How many in this church family are in need in one way or another? Those that are battling illness, people who are undergoing treatments that are so serious, really difficult moments in their life. So many of us who are just feeling the effects of age and the slowing down and the changing of our lives and what we can and cannot do now because of just the number of years that are being added to us. Pray for those that are in need. Pray for those who are still struggling with grief because of an important loss in their life of someone that they love dearly. Pray for those who are struggling with loneliness. Brothers and sisters, at some who are dealing with chronic pain or just chronic situations. And some people that are just dealing with life issues, whether you know that somebody's struggling to find a job or to make ends meet or get their bills paid, or you know somebody who's trying to overcome a sin in their past or some addiction that's been after them and pulling them back. Let's pray for one another. Sometimes we publicly ask for prayers. When a brother or sister asks us to pray, when you get one of those emails during the week where people are asking for you to pray, let's pray for one another. Pray for people who are in need. God answers those prayers. God responds to those prayers. They're not just words. And they unite us all as we pray one with another. Pray for the lost. Pray for the lost souls that you and I know, our family members, our friends, the people that we work with, and just the people that we meet on a day-to-day basis. Pray that God will be working through the circumstances of their life to open up their hearts to the good news, and then pray for the opportunity that you and I, that you can be the one who shares the gospel of Christ with them, and pray for boldness and faith to step out and to actually do that, because God will answer that prayer and open up that door of opportunity. And we've got to be ready to step up and get out and move in that direction with the good news of Jesus Christ. Really simple message today comes down to this. I'm just simply saying, will you personally, individually, commit 5 minutes a day this week? Right now, I'm just asking this week, 1 week, 5 minutes a day, to pray specifically for the church. I hope most of you got one of these little cards. If you didn't, they'll be on the back table when you leave. This is just, if you're looking for a little suggestion, for a little help, for a little reminder, this may be something that you can use this week. Basically, it's just saying, on Sunday, when you get up on Sunday morning, can you imagine if everyone on Sunday morning, you get up, and however long it takes you to sort of really wake up, every Sunday morning, as we get up, we're praying for the Bible school teachers at Newland Street. We're praying for those that are teaching the children. We're praying for those that are teaching the adult classes. We're praying for our morning assembly. We're praying that we will all come together with a heart that's really focused on God, longing to worship, longing to glorify God and to be built up as a body, longing to come together, to get into the Word of God, to fellowship around the table, to go out united to serve in the week, to pray this coming Sunday morning for that very thing. Monday, to pray for those who are in need. And obviously, I'm not suggesting, this is just perhaps a help or a tool. But to at least take one day to really pray for the people that are in need. On Tuesday, to pray for the elders. Most Tuesday nights, the elders get together. We meet on Tuesday nights. I'm already anticipating the difference it will make. When we come together on Tuesday night, if we knew that during the day on Tuesday, that there were over 100 people that were praying for us as we came together Tuesday night to consider the Lord's work. On Wednesday, to pray for the spiritual health of the church. Thursday, at servants and ministries. Friday, the mission works and benevolent works that we contribute to. Saturday, the lost and those who desperately need Jesus. If you're not satisfied right now with how you're praying for the church, and you may be doing this, and you're doing 15 minutes a day or whatever, you're not timing, you're not looking at the clock, but you're praying every day for the church, and you're doing all of these things, please ignore this little piece of paper. But if you need something to help you get started, if you need something to help you focus, and just at least for 1 week to make a commitment, let me encourage you to use this, to use it as a tool. Because what's going to happen, and the reason I'm only asking you for 1 week, is I know what will happen truly. If you and I pray every day for the church this coming week, we're going to continue to pray for the church in the weeks to come. It's just a matter of being thoughtful about it. It's just a matter of being focused on it. And I'll tell you what will happen. It already happens in your prayer life, doesn't it? You start to pray about something, and before you know, 20 minutes have been gone by, and you've just been going, it's like, where do you stop? Sometimes when you start praying, it's like, how do you stop? Where can you come to an end? Because there's so many things to bring before the Father's throne. So I'd ask you to make a commitment for a week. Next Sunday, I may ask you to make it for another week. But it's just a matter of getting the church in our minds, of being thoughtful about the church, and remembering the church in our prayers to the Father. One last thing about the Apostle Paul and his prayers for the church. And that is that Paul tells everybody that he's praying for them. It's interesting to me. Paul not only tells people that he's praying for them, he tells them exactly what he's praying for. I'm sure he did this more than just in the letters, but he's recorded it in Scripture so that we can read who Paul was praying for and what he was praying about. Can you imagine the impact of this practice of praying for someone, of being fervently supportive and petitioning God in prayer on behalf of someone, and then communicating to that person that you are, in fact, praying this for them. Well, first of all, the impact is God's answer to the prayer. That's the most important thing. When you and I pray for one another, when we pray for anything, when we pray for the church, God responds to that prayer. God hears and responds spiritually to that request. But can you imagine the other impact that this practice of Paul's would have on the church that he was writing to and on the relationships that he had with these people? What an encouragement it would be to them to get a letter from the Apostle Paul, and Paul says, you know what, I pray for you every day. I never stop praying for you. And by the way, this is what I'm praying for you. This is what I want to happen in that church. These are my concerns for you. I'm praying this, I'm praying that, to lay it out before them and for them to see it. To know that their life, that their congregation, that their situation is being lifted up before the throne of God by somebody who loves them and cares about them, that they're not in this alone, that they have the support of their brother in Christ. I want to encourage you to let people know that you're praying for them. I know it may seem kind of funny if you don't already do this. It's almost like parading your good works to be seen by men, right? Jim, I've been praying for you a lot. Mike, I've really been, you know, I'm not talking about just, you know, oh yeah, so I'm praying for all of you. What a difference it makes when you know that somebody is really struggling and they know that you know. And you're praying for them to say to them, brother, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you every day about this. I'm supporting you, brother. I'm praying that God will give you a way through. Imagine the impact of going up to our Bible school teachers and say, you know, I know it sometimes gets discouraging and there are not a lot of kids in the class, but I want you to know I'm praying for you as a Bible school teacher. I'm thankful to God for your devotion. I'm praying for the Bible school program. I'm praying for children to come. First of all, the prayer is the most important thing, but can you imagine as we share with one another the concerns that we have in each other's lives, the impact that it has on the intimacy that we have with one another, on the spiritual connection and growth that takes place within the body of Christ. For each one of us to be able to open up our hearts and lives and to be able to confess and tell others, yes, I'm praying for you. Would you pray for me on this? To be more open about this. To see how prayer really becomes a uniting factor and an encouraging factor in the body of Christ. Nora Pitt, one of my favorite people that ever lived, that I've ever known. If any of you ever went to North Long Beach, you might have known some of the Pitt family. Nora was kind of the matriarch. When we moved to Petaluma, just after we moved there, her husband passed away. And Nora was just this amazing woman of faith. In the 70s, she was a widow. She was growing physically weak. And it had gotten to the point that this woman who was involved in the body of Christ all of her life struggled to come on Sunday mornings and to come to the assembly and most of the time wasn't able to come. But she was a prayer warrior. I was a young preacher and I've been invited to preach. Some of you younger people won't know what this is. I was invited to preach a gospel meeting over at the Sonoma Church of Christ on the other side of Sonoma Mountain. And I was a young guy. I had my first gospel meeting under my belt, you know. And Sonoma, by the way, had a membership, I think, of about 25. I think I was probably the only person they could actually afford, you know, like for nothing. But I was excited to be there. And the week after the gospel meeting, I went to see Nora. And she was asking me all these questions about the gospel meeting. And I was like, it kind of struck me as strange that why, okay, you weren't there, you know, it's 40 miles away. I don't know if they even know anybody over there, but she was asking me all sorts of questions. So I told her, she asked about the lessons. I told her the lessons. I talked about the people who were there and some people that had met one another and some connections that were made and some of the responses that took place. Cause even in that little small congregation through a real kid preacher. The Spirit of God was at work, and God was working among those folks. And after I shared all of that with her, she just simply said, "I am so grateful to hear that. I've been praying for you. I prayed for you every day when you went to preach. And I prayed for that church that God would do something through the efforts of that meeting." And I was so humbled. And it struck me, and this truth has never left me, that Nora Pitt had more to do with the effectiveness of that gospel meeting than I did. I did my thing. I did my role. I gave the lessons. But Nora was the one who was praying for the church and praying for the preacher and praying for hearts. And when she told me that she had been praying for me, what an amazing encouragement in my life to know that Nora, one of my spiritual heroes, is praying for me. Let's pray for one another, brothers and sisters, to see God's power in the church. Because the impact that we make by praying for one another and letting one another know is so powerful. As God answers prayers, God ties us together. As God strengthens the bond of unity and love and mutual support. As we pray about things, we get to know about things. We become interested with people. Our connections grow. Our fellowship becomes deeper. All the while God responding to the prayer, God's power being unleashed in the body of Christ through these prayers. Let people know you're praying for them. Last question. If God did everything for this congregation that you ask Him to do in prayer, what would happen here? If God did everything for this congregation that you personally are asking Him in prayer, what would happen in this church? What petitions are you and I lifting up? What thanksgiving and praise? What request on behalf of our brothers and sisters and the lost and the leaders of the church? Can you imagine? And I know we all pray, folks. I know every one of you here prays. I'm certainly not trying to indicate that that's not the case. But what if we as a congregation truly focus each member of this body praying every single day for the body of Christ here? What God might do in response to those prayers, and how God would strengthen us as a family as we pray for one another in the works of the church. We keep saying this week after week, but I'm a church member. By the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, I'm a church member. I am a member of the body, the living spiritual body of Jesus Christ. So are you. We're tied together. We're part of one another. We support one another. We work with each other. We love one another. Let us commit to be praying church members. If you're in need of the prayers of this church, let us know today how we can pray for you or minister to you or encourage you in any way. If you're not yet a part of the Lord's body, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Today, if you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, to confess Him as Lord, as Son of God, and accept His Lordship in your life, come and be baptized into Christ, forgiven of your sins. Receive the Spirit of the living God that brings you into the living body of Christ. And know His power and love in your life. And as this week begins, may you and I commit to pray for the church. If any need to come to the Father today, come, let's stand together and sing.